Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Go to GreatLakesDragaway.com for information on the upcoming Time Machine Nationals on Labor Day weekend, Saturday, August 31st and Sunday, September 1st. Bring out the whole family for funny cars, jet cars, wheel standers, and nitro cars.
Pick a lane before 6 o'clock in the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Next Show comes at you, getting you ready for Brewers and Cardinals. First of a three-game set, first of 9 meetings before between the two teams as we race through 41 games to play for the Milwaukee Brewers left here in the 2019 championship season. 414-799-1250 live at 1057fmthefan.com. Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox.
Never frozen.
I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmid. That is Gary Ellerson, the former Badger and Packer running back, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and Anthony Mandela here as well. You can join the show once again at 414-799-1250. Brewers lineup is out. One player none too pleased once again that he is not in the lineup. That is usual leadoff hitter Lorenzo Cain. This from Adam McKelvey, that he is being sidelined due to a left oblique injury. Lorenzo Cain made it clear it is not his choice to be sidelined again. Brewers are just being careful with Lo Cain. You're never going to get a good answer if you walk up to Lorenzo Cain and say, "Hey, Lo, was it your choice to be out of the lineup today?" He's going to look at you, laugh, and then say, "No, never.
Right.
It's never my choice."
That dude wants to play every day. Play it and simple, and those are guys you want.
And it's tough, though, when you're a Brewers team, you're going into one of the biggest series of the year.
But that's not the issue.
Look,
I don't know what you two think. I just don't, from an offensive standpoint, there's not much drop-off at this point between Lorenzo Cain and Trent Grisham this year. Maybe next year.
No, you're right.
But this year, offensively, baby Tiles, do you think there's a huge drop-off between Grisham and Cain?
Well, you lose a little bit defensively.
Correct.
I'm not saying offensively. Sure, but in the same vein, whatever the emotional leader does for you in baseball, especially like at this point in time, he's still there. He's still on
he's
the
still
team.
In the
he's
dugout.
Still in the clubhouse.
Right. It's not like he's in California.
That's not necessarily a major issue to me. A lot of it is just these are the guys that got you there, and like you'd expect to roll with them, but it's easier to be cautious with an injury like that when you have Trent Grisham playing the way you are, instead of like a Ryan Braun the last few years where you have to sit him and you don't have a viable backup.
And right now, Ryan Braun, because now your backup is Ben Gamble, and Ryan Braun's been playing well.
Ryan Braun is scorching hot.
And there's no Ryan Braun in the lineup in a huge series against the Cardinals because you have to try and keep him healthy to the end of the season. That's part of the reason why I'm sure he's off.
Wendy's Big Show, Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane here, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Are you concerned about Aaron Rodgers not playing in the preseason? Gary Ellerson, that's the right lane today.
Yeah, because I need for him to play a little bit. I mean, I just want to know what this offense looks like. I just don't know how you go in a new offense and just go Thursday night, the 100th season celebration for the NFL against the Chicago Bears, and no real live play. Now, I know he just said that the best work he's going to get is in practice. I disagree. Best work he's going to get because it's in the game.
But can't you manipulate the situations to get every possible situation in practice?
No, because they can't touch him. He's got the red jersey on, Billy.
Yeah, but I don't need Aaron Rodgers to get hit to know that he's in the same system.
No, it's different. You know that, Bill.
But not for a quarterback.
Yeah, it is.
I disagree,
Steve,
for a quarterback.
Want me to go out there and do it to you? Because Steve and I had this conversation about 15 years ago.
You've got more to protect your ribs than I did. He almost killed me.
We had this conversation about 15 years ago. How tough it is to play quarterback in the NFL. And, Billy, when you can just stand here, I know I'm off the mic a little bit, but when you can just stand here, plant throw knowing nobody's going to hit you, that's easy. But when you got Khalil Mack coming down at you, that throw ain't the same, bro.
But I already had to move away from Khalil Mack, and I got my leg broken.
But now I got defense coming at me too. Now I got a new offense. I don't know if he's because in McCarthy's offense, I probably can do that blindfolded and just throw it over there. In this offense, I don't have much work at it. It's a whole different deal.
That's why I get every possible look imaginable in practice. They
it's
can
not
throw
the
anything
same.
In front
I can
of me
sit
in practice.
That comfortably and throw the ball.
Is practice speed the same as game speed, Bill?
No.
No, but you can have more looks at it than he doesn't need to know what game speed is. He's
yes,
played the league for 14 years. He's played in this
Bill,
league for 14
you got,
years.
You got to be kidding me. I got the red jersey on. I can throw anywhere I want to throw.
And he believes that he can make any throw imaginable
nah,
in a game.
Man, I'm telling you, it's different. It's different.
I understand there's a difference between practice and the game, but
you can manipulate
any position, any look possible in practice. I don't need to put him out there for a game that don't mean anything.
Oh, so you're saying he doesn't need work?
No, he's Aaron Rodgers.
So you think Andy Reid is crazy for putting Mahomes out there for a half?
No, Patrick Mahomes has been a starter in the NFL for one season.
It was pretty good.
Aaron Rodgers has been a starter in the NFL for 11 seasons.
So at some point, then you pull it away.
Sure.
5 years in, whatever. Okay.
Before your 25th birthday, no, you can suit up and play.
Gotcha.
And Patrick Mahomes is also making $4.5 million this year, $5 million this year. Aaron Rodgers is making $35 million.
Well, their season's done and Mahomes gets hurt just as much as the Packers are. If Rodgers gets hurt.
I mean, yes and no.
You don't think their season's done if Mahomes gets hurt?
I think they got way more weapons that any backup quarterback could play a lot better than they would in the system.
With the Packers?
Yeah.
Okay. They got a lot of speed. Kansas City's filled with speed.
No, they do.
Ton of speed.
Alex Smith did take that team to the playoffs, and they had a 21-0 lead over the Tennessee Titans. Like, so I understand that there's a concern, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're Aaron Rodgers. You've played in preseason games before. Play in the Super Bowl. I don't need to see you in the preseason, Sparky.
In the same offense, Billy.
Sure, I understand, but he also did that with 3 or 4 different offensive coordinators as well.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Who's the 3 or 4 different offensive coordinator?
You look at Joe Philbin. You also look at...
Same guy was calling the plays, though.
Right.
So, but there's
no,
different offensive
for a half a season.
No, same
3
guy.
Weeks, 4 weeks.
Exactly.
Then you also believe he was calling the plays
same
as well.
Same guy. Doesn't matter. Same guy.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I don't
same
believe
guy,
that he
Billy.
Needs to.
We're not changing nothing. This is Mike McCarthy's offense.
But this is football. It's not changing anything.
No,
it's still football.
No, no. We're not running the same sets, Bill. You should know. You see it. I don't have to tell you that. Different
This
sets.
Offense is not the same as the last offense.
Sure, but I disagree that he doesn't need that he needs to know how to play quarterback in this system.
No, no, no. It's not,
he can do all of it in practice.
No, no, no. It's completely different.
Okay, well, that's your opinion. Out. Sparky, are you concerned about Aaron Rodgers not playing in the preseason?
Yeah, I don't like it either. I didn't like it last year. And I said last year, we got all these rookie wide receivers. We should probably start getting on the same page here during preseason. I was you're crazy. It won't affect anything. And then they get off to the slow start, and they have issues all year long. Thank God for MVS finally figuring it out at some point and getting it down with Rodgers. But outside of that, it wasn't nearly as good as it could have been. Now, would playing in 2 or 3 preseason games have fixed that slower start with that offense? I have no idea, but I at least would have liked to have seen it. And now here we are with a brand new offense, and now there's a chance he may not play at all in a brand new offense. Again, they're going to play the Bears at week 1 game on that Thursday night, and they're going to play a good defense and a good football team. And if they lose like 24-9 or 24-6 or something, people are either going to have one of two responses. There's going to be some people that go, and that's why I should have played in the preseason because this offense looked horrible. And then there's going to be the other faction of people that are going to put the positive spin on it and go, well, that was a really good Bears defense. It had nothing to do with preseason. So that whole fight is going to occur if they don't score points. Now, if you see the Bears and the Packers throw up, 3 touchdowns in that game with this offense, and the offense looks good, then that's the end of it. Nobody talks about preseason ever again. But if this offense struggles in week 1, week 2, week 3, and they're struggling to get 10, 13 points on a given week, this is going to be a storyline to follow through the first few weeks of the season.
I'm just not all that concerned about it. Like, if it would be anybody else, if Mitch Trubisky can go in with a new offense, new head coach, new everything, and put up touchdowns in 3 of the first 4 drives on your script and plays on the road at Lambeau Field, Sunday Night Football, I can't believe that Aaron Rodgers
can't
do it.
Yeah, but it wasn't Mitch Trubisky. That was Khalil Mack who was putting up touchdowns.
Do you remember last year?
They rolled through that 12-play series that was just gold. They didn't miss a beat.
I understand that, but it was the defense. It wasn't Mitch.
Not that first series where they rolled down and walked through.
But that's the thing. That's the thing of all this is that the Packers lead, well, right now with Aaron Rodgers. The Chicago Bears lead with Khalil Mack. That's the difference between the two.
But the first game of the year, dude, he was on the team for 7 days.
Billy, the reason why, because defensive player, you and I both know, hey, there it is, go get it. You didn't, right? He don't need to need to know anything. Listen, and I understand what you're saying about that, but they won that game. Well,
they lost.
Came
the
close,
right, sure,
to winning that game because it was defense.
But also,
Mitch couldn't win it.
But also remember something else. We talked about this going into that game last year and after the game. You had no idea what Nagy was going to run. He'd never been a play caller in Kansas City. You didn't know really what to prepare for. And they had some gimmick plays. Right, they had some gimmick plays in there and everything else. So the Packers defense literally was adjusting on the fly.
Yes.
Now, having said that, this year it's going to be a little bit different.
Can't
because
wait.
Now the Bears are on the other side, and the Bears are going to have to adjust as the Packers offense comes out.
Right.
Yes, you know LaFleur's play calling and what he did in Tennessee. But he didn't have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Tennessee, and he does now. So it's going to be a little bit different. So by keeping him out and not showing him anything and all this other stuff, there is something to that week one game of keeping the Bears guessing, letting them figure it out on the fly like you did last year in the same scenario.
Aaron Rodgers' answer, do you believe you need to play in the preseason?
Well, kind of right where I always am. The practices are so much more important than the preseason. The looks that we see like on a day like today are invaluable reps. It's, you know, an attacking defense. It's different fronts. It's different pressures. You know, Oakland does some different things over the last couple preseasons that stress you at times protection-wise. So it's not as maybe vanilla as you might see in the preseason. But the best reps I'm going to see all summer are in practice. If, you know, Matt wants us to play, we'll play and go out and compete. If not, I feel pretty good about where we're at.
If Matt wants us to go out there, we'll
go
out there.
I like when he said that.
If Matt wants us to go out there, we'll be ready to go because he's the boss.
Right.
And I know who the boss is.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers after practice today. That's the right lane. Are you concerned about Aaron Rodgers not playing in preseason in the center lane? How much faith do you have in Josh Hader still? Saturday night, a crazy game at Nationals Park. Wild night. You see what was the final aggregate score? 28 runs placed as it was a 15-13 ball game out at Nationals Park, and the Brewers survive. Josh Hader gives up a run, blows a save. He's not gone for a scoreless outing here in the month of August, Sparky. But after giving up the one run and tying the game at 12 as it stood there in the ninth inning, you saw Josh Hader, to me, be Josh Hader again. Throw the ball up in the zone, pumping fastballs, mixing a slider here and there. He wasn't nitpicking. Nothing was low in the zone, and he strikes out the Nationals' top three hitters with the bases loaded, Trey Turner, Adam Eaton, and one of the best hitters in all of baseball, Anthony Rendon. So I see Josh Hader evolving back to the player that he was. So I still have plenty of faith in Josh Hader, not as much as I started out this year as the reigning Rolaids reliever of the year and an all-star at 24 years old. But how much faith do you have in Josh Hader still?
I had 100% faith when Josh Hader would get up in the pen to come into a game. I did not care if the bases were loaded and nobody was out. I didn't care if there was him starting an inning. Whatever the scenario you could have given him, I said, he'll figure it out. He'll get out of it, and I'm not worried about it. He's that good. I don't worry about it. And when he does, it's like, wow, I can't believe that happened. Now, in the last 2 weeks, now it's 50-50. He gets up. I'm like, oh, please, please, please have a good outing. Please don't screw this up. Same thing happened Saturday night. Same feeling I had Saturday night. Gets up, okay. And just like that, it's a tie ball game. And I'll be honest with you, when the bases were loaded, I thought that puppy was done. I was like, just make contact and this thing is over. That's all it is. Well, he didn't let me make contact in fair play, and he got lucky because who was it? Trey Turner hit one that was just foul.
Crushed.
Just foul. Crushed that ball.
And ever since then, it was like the lights switched on and
correct,
it was regular 71.
Because yep, that game was over. That ball, a few feet fair, it was over.
Missed it maybe by 5 feet.
Yeah, it was close. So from that perspective, I've lost faith in him for sure. It's a 50-50 proposition now when he comes in. And you're going to be in a situation against the Cardinals. And if you get up in this series, you're going to go back to him again. You don't have any other choice. You have to have him work out of this. Because if he is done for the season, you're in a lot of trouble if he can't figure this out. Like you pointed out, he figured out in that inning and got out of a bases loaded, nobody out situation by striking off the side. You have to have him figure this out. I don't think he's Turnbow. I don't think he's Danny Kolb. I don't think he's any of that. I think he's way too good for that. Yeah, so hopefully he figures it out.
Gary, how much faith do you have in Josh Hader still?
A lot. I mean, he's all you got. I mean, ride or die. You got to run with this guy. I mean, I don't know what the question is all about. What? I mean, I think he's been overused in a different situation. No Knable. That's your problem. So you're using him in certain spots. And so he's going to be a little bit more vulnerable than what he was last year.
So in that clubhouse, you don't think that there's a difference with those guys believing when Hader comes out?
No. It's automatic. Everybody thinks it's automatic. I mean,
perfect.
You know,
because that's what you want. You want them still believing that it is automatic. Because
automatic.
It has been far from automatic.
Right. And guys know in that locker room that they know he's put in a tough spot.
414-799-1250. That's the center lane. How much faith do you have in Josh Hader still? And in the left lane, who do you expect more from, the Packers offense or the Packers defense? At 414-799-1250. There's been so much talk, Gary, about the defense making so many strides, but they don't have a two-time MVP on their side.
No, I mean, they don't. But I think when you look at, to me, it's all about the defense, Billy. I mean, I thought they played better against Baltimore. They got just trucked against Baltimore. I thought they'd be a little bit more stout front, and they weren't. And they talked about it. They said they went back and they got into a meeting early and got, you know, where they need to be with their fits and got to be a little bit more physical. Tackling still a problem. So I just think in the beginning, maybe you don't feel that way, but I think in the beginning they need to depend on their defense.
And when you're in that situation where you need to depend on your defense to at least shorten the game in that sense, you have... You're going to have to run the football, and that's what Matt LaFleur wants to at this point.
We haven't seen Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams yet.
Yeah, let him.
Yeah, okay.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It's preseason football. Yeah. Joe's in West Bend.
What's
He's up,
Joe?
First. Great Lakes Dragway, pick a lane.
Hey, guys. I want to do the right lane with Rodgers. I'm concerned about him not playing the preseason, more because he hasn't played in the preseason the previous couple years that much, and they haven't exactly came out all that fast. And that was under an offense he knew inside and out. And now we're talking about an offense he doesn't know, and we're still not playing him. There's still nothing like game-like speed, guys. And that bit you played with Rodgers saying practice is all he needs, I don't agree with that at all.
But, Joe, aren't we talking about game-like speed when he's going up against ones? Those guys aren't fighting for jobs. Like, this isn't going to be the fastest football you see in a game-like situation.
Still not practice. You still can get hit. You still have to get rid of the ball. I mean, he doesn't have that worry in practice at all. That's a huge difference. I don't care if there are two, three coming after you. It has got to be a different feel playing in a game that's different than practice. It's got to be.
All right, appreciate the call. And you're right, it is a different feel. It just, to me, if you're going in there, going up against dudes that already have a job, aren't fighting for a situation, you're really just giving yourself an opportunity to get hurt when you don't have to. Like if you're going to take the risk, and in a business sense, if this risk is worth the investment, like the return on investment just doesn't seem there to me for Rodgers to suit up in a game that's meaningless.
I get what you're saying, Billy, meaningless. But I just think it's just a little bit more practice time that he get. I think guys are coming at you for real. Nobody's breaking down. Nobody's flying by you. You know you can step into a throw. All those things, and then you look at really your landmarks with the quarterback and with the receivers. Those are going to be a little bit different. I just think it takes time for all that to develop and to happen. I mean, we'll just see how it plays out. Listen, if he's going to play up in Nova Scotia, I mean that's great. I mean I you know, if he doesn't, that's fine too. But I'm like Steve with everybody else. If he doesn't play during the preseason, you just better believe it, that it will be a slow start. Here's what you're going to see him doing, throwing his hands up because he's not where he's supposed to be, and that guy over there wasn't where he's supposed to be. He was 2 yards deep, and he's doing all that kind of stuff. That's going to happen with Rodgers when you're not on the same page.
What's going to happen is if they struggle in the postgame, he's going to be like, hey, we're trying to figure out a new offense here, trying to get on the same page.
Which is okay.
It's going to take a little bit.
Right.
That's what he's going to say.
I see him being a little bit less – heavy on that stuff, though. Like the pointing out of why we're missing things and not and just straight deflection.
One
like
would
where
hope
it's all
so.
Completely yes. deflecting everything to it.
One would hope so.
I expect him to be a little bit different on that than he has been this
yes.
year. 414-799-1250. Packer report from Mike Clemens, and we're back with your phone calls at 414-799-1250 before the On Deck show at 6. It's Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane on Wendy's Big Show. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Dragway, pick a lane on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate you hanging out. We're here till 6. Then I got the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. Tim Allen and myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, with the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show tonight after Brewers and Cardinals. Brewers needing a win. It'll be Zach Davies coming off the IL to face Dakota Hudson. We have this one from Brett tweeting at us at 105.7 FM, The Fan. Braun isn't playing because Hudson's split showed he struggled against left or versus lefties. Brewers did the same thing earlier this year. Plus, there's a huge drop off from Kane to Grisham. Kane has a similar OPS to Orlando Arcia. He's been horrible offensively. Brett, I understand that. I understand that he has not been good offensively, but it is Lorenzo Kane. So, like, that is one of your focal points. That is one of your starters. That is one of your stars. That if he can play, he would be in the game tonight over a 22-year-old rookie who might have a better OPS.
I really don't care about splits. When you have a hot player that's going, you let him continue to play. I don't give a damn about what the splits say about a certain pitcher that he's facing. I just don't. Braun's been good enough where he deserves to continue to play. Unless he needs off and has to have an off day physically so he doesn't get hurt again, then he plays. He should be playing over Ben Gamel. I don't care what the situation is, what the splits say, he should be playing, period.
Yeah, I would agree. I would like to see him in there, but it is one of those... I got to imagine it's just one of those scheduled days off, and they won't budge that. They didn't budge in Game 3 of a do-or-die game against the Chicago Cubs last year, so I can't think that they will here in the middle of August against the Cardinals. 414-799-1250, we find in Slinger, Chuck. He's on the Wendy's Big Show. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, guys. Great topic. Well, Lane 1, you know, we got a new coach. I always look at Belichick. I don't like him, but I think Brady plays every preseason.
Sure.
But... yeah, so, you know, he does it, but Brady gets the ball out quick. So would it not be prudent to get Rodgers in there with just don't run around, just practice the quick-hitting offense? And I think you minimize the risk, but you get him out, because I do look at New England. They're doing something right. What do you
right.
guys think?
I understand that, Chuck, and I think some of the hesitation with that is you're right. Tom Brady has historically always gotten the ball out really early, and Aaron Rodgers wants to be super. If you put him under the lights, I think you're opening yourself up to him trying to go flashback in that sense and still trying to hit the home run, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're still opening yourself up.
Yeah, I know LaFleur doesn't want that, though, so he may learn a tough lesson taking a few hits, but it's a good point.
Appreciate the call, and I'd rather him take those hits in a game that matters. I understand the need to see live game reps with a new offense, but... Gary, I mean, it's a yes. new offense, it's a new scheme, it's new plays, it's new verbiage, but it is still 11 on 11. It is still football that you've played your entire life.
Well, true, I mean, it is, but I think it's different when it's 7 on 7 versus 11 on 11. And I think with just practice, that's what that is. 7 on 7, on air, nobody touching you. Football is a whole different game when you're bringing the heat, man, and somebody going after trying to end your life. Basically, that's what Khalil Mack's going to be trying to do.
414-799-1250. But you also have dudes trying to make a team here. Like it's not like you got dudes just coasting in practice.
Yeah, but I'm just talking about the quarterback position, why he needs to play. Is because that rush that's coming up at him, and probably he's stepping up in the
but
pocket.
But he's gonna learn
he's
something.
He's running around. He's doing all this kind of stuff. He ain't going to be able to do all that.
He's going to learn that lesson week 3 against the Raiders instead of when he did for the last 11 years?
I think you learn how to get used to it again. You learn how
okay.
to... And then now you know that's the speed of the game. I think you just get used to it. Just a tune-up.
Sure, it's just a tune-up way.
I mean, you already know what you can do. You already know what you got, but it's just... just a reminder. It's just a tune-up. It's like kind of like that first time when you just get your bell rung, like...
That's what it is again.
Yeah,
that's what it is again. Got it.
Hey, I got a question for
both
of y'all.
Come on, Steve, give me a question.
Because I was reading a piece, what was it? This morning, yesterday, article about that crazy Adam Gase This whole thing about smelling salts.
Yes,
smelling
salts.
Crack them.
Yeah. You whiff it up against the nose, and it gets the ammonia all up in your air.
Right. So he does it before every game, apparently.
Awesome.
I don't know why he does it.
I've never done
fired up, dude.
I've never done it in my life.
Fired up.
So the reporter that was writing the story, he tried it. He's like, okay, I'm going to try it and see what happens.
Don't try it, Steve.
So he did it.
Fine.
Hold on. So he did it. He said he got a little woozy and whatever else.
It burns out your brain cells.
And about 10 minutes later, he felt a little bit more sharper, a little bit more on top of things once the wooze wore off. So you say it's not good for you.
Not good for you.
Not good
Google
for you. Well, I mean, Google it. I was just wondering.
Burning up brain cells.
So there was no coaches telling you to do this before games on purpose.
Oh, no.
When there was no need for it.
No, when I played, that's what they brought you back.
That I know.
To wake you up.
But this dude's just doing it just to do it because he thinks it makes him stronger and all this other crap.
It burns our brain cells.
No, it gets him fired up.
So have you done it just to do it?
Absolutely.
You have?
Yes.
I've used Billy doing just to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not just to do it, but I used it in competition. Right.
Right. Before a game, you would do
it. But you only way you putting that stuff up in my nose is I'm knocked out. Otherwise, I ain't trying to volunteer to go over there and sniff that.
That's what I was wondering.
No. I can see Billy doing it.
Needed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fired me up.
Yeah. I can see him doing it.
Do anybody else on your team do it?
Yeah, all the linemen do it.
Yeah,
like
no doubt.
Four, five.
There's also a bunch of caffeine pills you take before game or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
I do the caffeine pills.
Keep you energized. But now I'll tell you this: when you first do, you talk about the wooziness for like 4 or 5 seconds. Then there is just this energy for like 45 seconds to a minute that, like, you legitimately, I could kick through that glass that's separating us and Mandel.
Really?
Like, it is a crazy adrenaline rush you get for like that first minute or so, right after you get underneath the bar, you squat it, put it back up, put it on the rack, and you're out.
So I told you about my buddy who I was playing for the Lions. This guy, his name is Chris Sheffield. He was from my hometown, played Albany State College. Matter of fact, when I was playing for the Lions, we had three guys from my hometown playing for the same team, Detroit Lions. One guy named Gary Lee, this other guy was Chris Sheffield. So Chris Sheffield comes over to me, like, doing pregame. He goes, man, do I look fast to you?
Oh, I remember the story.
I go, yeah. I said, yeah, you look all right.
No, piping him up. Yeah, man, you look good.
I think you look all right. He says, man, feel like I'm running in slow motion, though. I go, why? I just took 5 800s.
Was his heart beating out of his chest?
Pre-game. He took 5 800 milligrams of ibuprofen, cuz. He goes, feel like I'm moving in slow motion. You thought he's running in slow motion. Well, hoping it wears off sometime soon, because you are pretty amped up right now, cuz.
The most ibuprofen that I
need. Five.
I think I took 8 one time.
At one time?
But they were like the 200, 400 milligram ones.
800,
so,
the big ones. The
so
big orange ones.
The horse pill ones.
So the horse pills ones.
So I took 4 of the 400s, because that's what I had in my bag. So, I mean, pretty close to, but that was after I had already dislocated my thumb and then put it back in and then had to finish.
Man, do I look fast?
30 minutes.
I feel like I'm running in slow motion. I go, why? What's up, man? I took 5 800s. I said, yeah, your brain's probably moving slow motion.
First time I ever was introduced to the caffeine pill, though, was it was like, I thought my jersey was a medium.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, dude, what is this?
Yeah.
My whole body was just like, it felt shrunk.
Yeah.
But I was just moving so fast. I felt like I was on fire. PF Flyers on and everything.
We used to have these. GNC used to have these things. It was a root, some sort of root or something like that. And we used to eat.
They sell
this
that at GNC?
I thought it was GNC.
Isn't that ginseng?
Was it ginseng back then? Some sort of root. Hmm. We used to have some sort of root that we would eat or take before the game. That had you fired up, too.
Yeah, ginseng root.
Ginseng
pretty
root?
Sure what you're talking about.
Oh, it was a ginseng root. Okay.
Yeah. You chew on a root. It'd be a root in a bottle, man, at GNC. But you tear them things up. Let me have them.
414-799-1250. You never know what's in his GNC bottle. It's Mike on the south side of
Milwaukee.
What's
up, Mike?
Mike's up on Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane.
Hey, guys. Yeah, back in the day, it's called amyl nitrate. They call it Rush.
Yeah, the amyl nitrate.
I don't know if you can get it anymore.
Mm-mm.
But
I bet somebody's got it in their basement.
And you're like Superman taking off. Real quick, my comments about Favre
Yeah, by Favre?
Cedric Benson?
Oh, yes.
To go out.
Yeah.
There ain't no game on the motorcycles at night. And he took out the passenger. It's dangerous out there.
Really sad stuff, yeah.
You know, Mike, Mike, hold on real quick. We're going to let you talk. You know, I was thinking about buying a motorcycle. I mean, I was already.
We had the conversation on air. You were looking at the Indians, ready to rock and roll.
Yeah. And this here just pushed me over the top.
Yeah, I had a similar situation with my bike. Just thought, we're done.
Yeah.
Don't need it anymore.
Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
So did you buy the bike?
No, I did not.
Oh, I have a bike, and I rode on and off for like 25 years, and I have two hip replacements.
Mm.
It's like $100,000 it cost.
What, the hips?
And for the two hips.
Yeah.
And it's just too dangerous out there. Three people died this weekend.
It's scary, man, especially if you're not wearing a helmet.
None of them had it. Well,
yeah.
These people ain't looking for it. Now, about these pre-practices, third one, you don't take the Ferrari out in the rain. They got one more game, the fourth one. You give them one quarter. Now, if I'm thinking back, didn't he just play one quarter last year?
No, he played like one series or two series. I think he only had like seven snaps.
And you know, if that Mahomes, they played him a bunch of series, right? Or a couple quarters?
Played quite a bit.
If he did his ACL, Andy Reid's, he's gone. Mm. I mean, but
I would agree.
Now the Bears, wasn't the Bears game last year the first game?
It was. Yeah. It was the first game of the year up at Lambeau Field, Sunday Night Football.
I look at it this way. Save him for the games that count.
There you go.
Get these young quarterbacks in there. And one last thing, that Brett Favre, because I know I can't bring this up again, was that 10 years?
Yep, 10 years ago yesterday, Brett Favre, a Minnesota Viking.
Go to have wings at the BW.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. These Viking fans were so arrogant. They thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. And when he threw that interception, you could have heard a pin drop.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I...
Thanks for taking the call, guys.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah. That was the first time I cursed in front of my father, was when Brett Favre threw the interception across the chest of Tracy Porter.
Right.
The first time I ever cursed in front of my father.
Everybody I knew cheered.
Oh, no, yeah, no, I was cheering, and then as they showed Brett walking off to the sideline, he ripped the chin strap off, and I was just going in like, that's what you deserve! And I was mean. It was mean. And then like 20 minutes later, not even 20 minutes later, as he's walking off, I was like, man, I kind of feel bad. Like, that's Brett Favre, man. Right. I feel bad that this dude was just taking that beating that he did. Because that was rough.
That was rough.
That was brutal to watch. Like, any humanitarian was like, dude, what are they doing to this guy?
Hey, let me ask you.
He's got a family.
When did Nate Dogg die?
Nate Dogg?
Yeah.
The rapper?
Yeah.
Like 3-4 years ago?
What happened?
Did
you know the story?
Cardiac arrest, maybe?
What?
I know. Yeah, he's been dead for a while. I was in college when he passed away.
Were you?
Correct, yes.
Nate Dogg.
March 15th, 2011.
Whoa, that was way longer than that. I was in high school.
On September 12th, 2008, he suffered a second stroke. Nate Dogg died on March 15th, 2011 in Long Beach, California, at the age of 41. Confirmed that the cause of death was from complications of multiple strokes.
Nate Dogg at 41 having strokes?
You're really just finding out Nate Dogg died?
Yeah. Well, yeah, everything running across my timeline. Wishing him a happy birthday.
And Nate Dogg's dead, dog.
Yeah, August 19th.
Nate Dogg dead.
Nate Dogg's dead, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Didn't even know that. I mean, how did I miss that?
I don't know how you missed that.
Strokes.
Jewelry center. Let's just end this one right here. I don't know how you didn't know that.
No, I missed that one.
Coach. Wow.
Huh. Well, you know,
Dean Murray's not, though. Dean Murray's selling jewelry.
I was
good
thinking
prices.
About how I bring that in there. I mean,
shoptjc.com.
Because sometimes when people pass away, I mean, there's an estate sale.
True.
Okay. I was going to go with you're not going to have a heart attack when you walk in at the jewelry
center. You take your gold over there.
Yeah. That's where I'm going, Steve.
Yeah. Take your gold. People do that? Do people go buy gold? No. Seriously, though. I'm serious. Do you think people go to estate sales, buy gold, and then go to the jewelry center and sell it?
No, they don't.
You would think
people,
so?
People with hearts don't do that.
Yeah.
I think people do it.
Yeah,
are you serious?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think my boy Dean Murray at estate sales. Yes. That's a thing.
I can't believe that. ShopTJC.com. I didn't know people were that cold-hearted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess yeah, anything for a dollar.
You know, my buddy Lee Saltz played quarterback. He played quarterback at Temple. He gave me his necklace. It had, like, diamonds in them, like, you know, like sprinkle in them or some kind of stuff.
Sure.
Like that. His parents gave them to him for his graduation present. And I kept that. It was a big, thick rope, too. I had that rope, played for the Lions. Had that rope forever and a day. I might have paid him like about a grand for it. I took it over to the jury center.
Gave you $7 for it.
Get the most money for your old gold jury. Just like that. My good friend Dean Murray. Y'all better go see him. 76 in Layton Plaza. In Brookfield, Blue Mile Road, and Tri-City National Bank Building.
Is he where Nate Dogg is?
Huh?
Is he with Nate Dogg now, your old teammate?
Who, Lee Saltz?
Yeah.
No, we can Google him.
Okay, good, good. Play Dead or Alive next after the break.
S-A-L-T-Z, Lee Saltz. Got it. Think he played quarterback at Temple. Great guy.
Lee Saltz, not dead.
Nice, okay, there we go. There we go. Sweet.
55.
He's 55? Yeah, my age.
Yeah. ShopTJC.com.
ShopTJC.com.
This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Don't know how, but we're going to transition next. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. We'll be out at the new Pella Windows and Doors Experience Center on Friday. Gary Ellerson has where you can contact
him. Yeah, it's behind Cops. And guys, come see us meet Gina Della from Pella and see, feel, open, close, and compare a dozen windows and doors. You know, fall and winter is right around the corner, and now is the time to get your house ready for that. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin have great deals going on during the grand opening. Come see us, the big show, and hang out with us and the great team from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin Friday at Pella Experience Center, 19030 West Blue Mountain Road.
We will be there on Friday. The Brewers are in St. Louis tonight, and apparently God didn't realize that Sparky's not doing the on-deck show. The tarp is on the field at Busch Stadium. So I'll get you set for Brewers and Cardinals if they end up playing, because...
But you're hosting post.
And I'm hosting post, yeah, so that's the fun part. So apparently,
yeah, I love that.
There might be a window. There's always a window,
there's
right?
There's always a window.
But this one might be covered by raindrops.
Just gives you more time to go get dinner.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. Can't wait. So I'll get you set for the game that might or might not happen. And it'll after it does, Tim and I will talk to you on the post-game show. We're back at 2 tomorrow. Let's go.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.